It may look a bit different this morning because we have been doing our wise words as a church, and we have been looking to really seek to gain wisdom as a church on lots of different areas. And we've been doing that by looking at the book of Proverbs. And today our focus is looking on relationships. And so we are going to have a bit of a discussion this morning on things that we think being wise with relationships looks like, and things that we've kind of gained from Proverbs as we've been doing this. It's been amazing as well. Like, I've loved seeing all the social media devotions that we've had. Like, I've been really challenged on some of the stuff there on relationships and stuff. So if you haven't watched them, go back and watch them. They're really good as well. But first, could you all introduce yourselves for us?
Hello, I'm Stephanie. A little bit about myself. I was born and raised in Hong Kong. So up until uni, I've always grown up in church. I was attending church even before I was born. I've got really got fearing parents. I grew up in church, loved Jesus. After uni, I spent my early to mid 20s as a missionary in Uganda. So that was 4.5 years, and on weekdays, I'm a speech and language therapist by profession. On weekends, I lead worship in a church. And then a year ago, well, 18 months ago, God says, the season has ended. So I moved to England on my own. And I've been attending the Bridge since, and I absolutely love worshiping with everyone here. Yeah.
And we're very happy that you came here.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm married to Dan. We have 4 children. We've been married for 25 years this year, which is amazing. I'm involved in the children's work here. I lead Bridge Youngers upstairs. That's going really, really well. I'll pass on to Dan.
Hiya, my name is Daniel. I'm married to Michelle. I was born and raised in Romania. I became a Christian when I was 18. Before I became a Christian, I mean, if you're born in Romania, you are a Christian. So everybody's, you know, is a Christian. That's the tradition there. So I became a Christian when I was 18. And I met Michelle at our youth, kind of like together gather. In town when she came over to Romania, and we decided to get married quite young. I was 21, Michelle was 20 when we got married. And I moved over to England, and I didn't regret it since.
Good morning, my name's Lynn. I'm married to Richard, and I've been married for 41 years. Which seems forever. And I'm mum to Daniel, Simon and Helena. And I'm a grandma to, and I've got to get these in the right order and the right names, to Mia Fox, Robin Arlo, Hudson, Rudy. And we had a new granddaughter last week called Autumn. So that's going to keep us really busy. I work part-time now for church, helping people with debt. But my career before that, I was worked for 20 years in the NHS. I was a paediatric physio. And then for the last 15 years, I worked for the local authority with children and families who've got children with special needs and disabilities.
Amazing. Yes, let's give a welcome to our panel. A good welcome there from everyone. A round of applause. When we've been talking about relationships, as we're starting now, would you just be able to touch on why you think relationships matter and why they're important to you? Who's going first? Oh.
Relationships to me are everything. It's so important. I'm just fascinated by people. They've always absolutely fascinated me. My family say I'm nosy, but I'm not. It's not because I'm nosy. It's just people just absolutely fascinate me. Everybody's different and everybody's got something to share. And that just really has always intrigued me from being a little girl up to now. But It's a key to me having a relationship. And I have this, I don't know if it's a camera anywhere can zoom in, I don't know. But I have this up at home. I think Ross did it for me. And it says, love God, love people. And that's just me. I just want to love people. But it's really important, I think, that it says, love God first. Because if I'm not right and my relationship's not right with God, then I can't love people how I want to love people. And I think I've sort of spent my life building up relationships, and especially in the work that I did. If I couldn't build a relationship with the people that I work with, and especially the people that I work with now, then I'm never going to get the best from them. You're never going to get the best from people, and you're never going to see behind. If you just take somebody on face value, you don't really see that true person and that real person. So to me, it's key that we build those relationships. And especially when I worked, I had the privilege of working with families who had children with disabilities, and I really wanted to help them. But unless they trusted me and I built up that relationship, they were never going to be able to get the support that they needed. So to me, we've got to love God first. Get that relationship right. And then through us, then that flows, and then our relationship with people.
Just to bounce off from what Lynn said, because I also work with families with additional needs, and that trust and that rapport is like the core of everything else. And when you think about the Bible, God created us to worship him, but then actually God's love is actually in relation and in communion with him. So I see relationships as human beings, us, be a manifestation, a physical manifestation of what God's love looked like. So what Lynn said was, we have to get right with God. We have to have a relationship with God. And then the relationship that comes within us or amongst us would be an outpouring of what God's love looked like for us, and then how we can do it in the physical with each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think picking up on that, with families, my previous role was community nursing, and when part of our role was palliative care, and I think when you're part of that situation, going into families and nursing people until the very end, it's really important that you have that relationship with the families, that they completely trust in you. And I think that's just really important. I also think, I'd like to say that I think I am quite a good friend. I think relationships are really important to me, and friendships are really important. And I think we've got to be really intentional about our friendships, really intentionable about the relationships that we're creating, who we're creating them with. That's just really important.
For me as well, I kind of like, when I became a Christian, I kind of like realized as a young person that some of the older Christians in the church were saying that we are created by God to be in relationship with him. And no matter what age you're becoming a Christian, that is your first call to actually start having a relationship with him. And like when you start that right, that actually overflows and cascades into any relationship that you will have with your friends, with your marriage, you know, in your marriage, with the world, with your work colleagues. And I think if you get that right and you understand the relationship with God, you are actually going to just pass that over.
Yeah, definitely. And I think even part of my journey in that is, sometimes when you're doing a lot and you're busy and you've got children and life's very hectic, you can feel like you're giving a lot to everybody. But I know part of my story is that actually if I'm not right or like looking after myself and getting the things right, actually people aren't getting the best of you and actually can affect relationships. So like actually having that right where you're taking time for yourself as well, and you're kind of building in that. Has anyone else got any of that, where how you navigate that you can give and give and give to people, but actually we're all talking about our relationship with God and things like that. How do you get that healthy flow in regards to relationships, if that makes sense, so that we're not burning out by giving all the time to everyone and we're looking after everyone else, but actually keeping the health in relationships in all of that?
I guess I can relate it in a sense, yeah. Especially when I was in full-time ministry. A lot of the time I heard something really wise recently, and it says you get burnt out because you are looking in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. You are looking for reciprocation from the people that you're serving, or you're looking for reciprocation. And the truth is we live in a very broken world, and especially when you're serving people, you can't expect them to reciprocate the same way. And when you look at that, you're going to get hurt. You're doomed to get hurt. You will get disappointed, and you will feel like you're giving out a lot. Coming out from ministry, I think the first thing that I learned is you need to sit at the feet of Jesus and just be quiet. And just be quiet. If you start looking, we live in a world full of relationship, and it is beautiful. But if you keep getting that attention or expecting that love from people around you, you're not going to get it. You're not going to be satisfied. It's only Jesus that can satisfy you. So when I came off ministry, the first thing that God really had to deal with myself is actually, Stephanie, do nothing and just sit. And just allow me to tell you how my love looked like for you. That will enable you to work with others. And the job that we do from what I just heard is tiresome. It is draining. And a lot of the times I come home from work and I'm like, God, I looked at this family. I don't know what to do. I love them, but I don't know how to love them. I don't know what to do. And I always have that time that I need to really spend with God on my own. No one can help you with that. Not your parents, not your spouses, not your friends. You need to be with Jesus. And that's the only way that you can actually get that fuel and that love from him.
Yeah, and then from that, then our relationships can be really enriched, can't they? And that, and Michelle, can you just pick up on, like, when life's busy with family and things like that, you mentioned the importance of friends, how you kind of work that out. I know that sometimes people don't have time when they're looking after all children and stuff and all of that. So how do you navigate a little bit of that?
I think it's just making sure that you've got time for yourself. I do think it all comes down to your relationship with God, doesn't it? And I think that is just the key thing this morning, that there's one thing we take away, a kind of a relationship with God first, and out of that everything flows. But the practicalities of it is just, I don't know, really seeing what the priorities are. I think we can be involved in so many things, and we can be running around and doing so many things and involved in so many things. Sometimes I've had to just sit back and go, what is kind of coming from this? What fruit is coming from this? Where is it really going? Do I need to be involved in that? Is that something that I can put down? Is that something that I need to let somebody else step forward and do? Me and Dan obviously chat about ourselves, about our own free time, about our relationships, not together, but just with other people. So we're constantly like, what are you doing tonight? Where are we going tonight? Who's doing the pickup? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? So I know it does get really busy, but we do really have to prioritize that. It's, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, that it's beneficial for us as well, and that we're not only just giving out, that it is something for us as well. It's kind of a two-way thing, our relationships, aren't they?
Yeah. And I love, I don't know if anyone's seen, there's an example of when you're prioritizing in life, that if you had a container and you try to put loads of stuff in, it would, like, they put sand and different things in, and it would look like you can't fit all in. But actually, if you put big rocks in first, then medium rocks, and then sand, you actually fit way more in than if you were to put, like, sand in first and medium rocks and then big rocks. And actually, the point of it is you're working out in your life what are the big rocks, and you're putting them in first, and then you can fit more in your life because there's space for other things. And I think from what Michelle's saying and what I've found in my life, it is taking them times to stop and go, actually, what are the big rocks in my life here? What relationships am I going to prioritize? And then you seem to fit more in your life when you do it that way. And actually, I know for me and Erin, it's times of readdressing that at different seasons of your life and going, actually, this is a new season. There's new challenges, new things. What do we need to kind of look at when we come to prioritizing this? And that's really helped me. So moving on, we've been looking at the book of Proverbs. As we've been looking at this as a church, has there been anything that has really jumped out at, for you when it comes to relationships?
I had to write this down. I couldn't remember it. But one of the proverbs when we were thinking about relationships for me was, it was from Proverbs 15, verse 18. And it was, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. And that really sort of gelled me. I was brought up, I had three sisters, so it was a house full of girls. And I had the calmest dad and the most patient dad that was, he was just made to be a dad of girls. And you can imagine in our house, we're forever falling out. We're falling out about who's taking whose clothes, makeup. My mum used to, we used to sit down for an evening meal, and my mum quite often would say, one day we will all sit around this table and everybody will say kind words to each other. But it just never happened. And I think sadly, I didn't really inherit that patience from my dad. So I can tend to be the person that flares up or just sort of can rise to something without putting my brain in gear sometimes, and words can come out of my mouth that aren't always helpful. So I just think that one, for me in a relationship, it's just so important that you're always going to have quarrels. You're never going to get on with everybody. There is going to be times of conflict. But I think it's no coincidence that it's a fruit of the spirit for patience. It's something that I think we all just need to just sometimes take a little bit of a step back in relationships and have that patience. And I just, on a daily basis, when I first got married, when I had children, I just used to look at it like a sample and think, where did my dad get all that patience from? It was lovely to see. And I just for me in a relationship, that for me personally, that was spoke to me about being patient.
From my point of view, is like on Friday nights at youth, we are doing kind of the same theme, wise proverbs, being wise with your relationships. And there are lots of questions, wise questions that we're asking them. And I was so impressed with the answers that they are actually giving us when it comes to relationships. Some of the young people say an important thing in relationships is like choose your friends, don't try too hard to fit in. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's quite wise for a young person to say. And I was really impressed. And what came to my mind, and I was challenged myself, what would I say to myself at that age? What advice would I give myself, my younger self? And I became a Christian when I was 18, and before that, I kind of followed everybody that was a bit influential to me. No matter what they were doing, I was thinking that they were doing right, and I was doing some bad stuff, some good stuff. But when I became a Christian and I started going to youth, and I remember after two or three weeks going to youth, and the young people there were actually having a really good conversation about life. And me on one side didn't have a clue what to say, because I never was exposed to that kind of mentality, that kind of thinking. And I never thought of what would I say to myself. And now going back, what can I say to myself? And I've got here a proverb that actually stays with me. And it says this, wisdom in choosing your friends. Whoever walks with the wise become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So basically, it is so true. And if I have to go back from when I was young, I will actually say, just choose wise friends. Choose friends that actually build your life, that they'll encourage, they're intentional, they want the best for you. And another thing as well, some other advice that I can give myself would be to be forgiving and kind of be patient with other people. Don't try and one of the proverbs, he says, it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. It's very easy to take an offense on what other people advise you, particularly wise friends in your life. It's so easy to take offense on that, although they want to build you up, they want the best for you. And sometimes, because you are not of that nature and you don't understand, particularly as being young, you take offense to that. And I think from my point of view as a young person or any person, just be quick to forgive rather than just keep offense.
Yeah, very good.
So the proverb I chose was Proverbs 21 verse 23. And it says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. And as we've been doing our Proverbs series and I've been watching the videos, there's so much wisdom, isn't there, about our words and the power of our words. And this verse just reminds us, you know, that we need for people who are mindful of what we say and how we say things as well. There's a phrase in our house that sometimes the children say that I've banned, really. And it's the phrase, they come to me and they say, I'm not being mean, but... And then it's usually followed by something mean. So, you know, like those few words in front of what they say can mean they can say what they want, really. So I always say, if they come up to me and say that, you know, I'm not being mean, but I always say, think about what you're going to say. Just think about what you're going to say. You know, not everything that we think needs to be said. You know, and here in this proverb, you know, Solomon recognizes the danger of our uncontrolled speech. You know, our words, whether through lying or gossiping or slander, you know, they can get us into a lot of trouble. Even more so now, this day and age, like with social media and the whole broadcasting and recorded and everything like that, you know, we really do have to be mindful. The Apostle James, in his book, you know, he recognises and talks about how difficult it can be to control our tongue and that, you know, we're not perfect people. And I know that I'm constantly challenged on not being reactive in my words, a little bit like what Lynn was saying. I can be a bit reactive sometimes in my words, so I am constantly challenged on that.
Brilliant, thank you. Mine is actually the same as his. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And it's from Proverbs 13, verse 20. And I feel really challenged to take a close look at whom you're surrounding yourself with. And when I was meditating on this scripture this past week, God actually gave me another Bible story, parable in Matthew 13. It's about the parable of the weeds, and it says God sows the seeds. And then when everyone is sleeping, the enemy comes and sows the seeds as well. And then you can't tell it until all the seeds grew up. And that's when you're able to see it. But then when it says everyone was sleeping, God was speaking to me that it's not a state of actually we're sleeping, but actually when you're not aware, when you're ignorant, when you're not sure, when you're not always vigilant about it. And the truth is our world is very unguarded. So the enemy would come and sow seeds around you. So I really felt challenged to constantly have that little check of, am I surrounding myself with the right people who is helping me grow? Am I surrounding myself with people who I can help them grow? And when Solomon prayed about having wisdom, other translation says a discerning heart. And we're not perfect people, let's be honest, and we will never be able to. Jesus is the only one that is perfect. But then being wise in our relationship would sort of mean you discern in what areas this person is able to pour into you and help you, and in what areas that you can reciprocate and pour into that person. And I think that's the beauty of community, because we're so imperfect. You can come as imperfect you are, but just don't leave that way, because the importance of community is you learn from each other and you walk with each other. You're not trying to get ahead of each other. You're not trying to follow someone's footstep and say, oh, that's the highway now. But actually, it's God's heart for his church as a body of Christ to work with each other so that we can all grow together.
Yeah. Thank you. So we've not got lots of time left for us to discuss, but I wanted to just pick out maybe a few thoughts that we could kind of bounce around with one another. And I wonder whether it's something as a church that we can continue having conversations about around. So we might just give a few food for thought, and then like more conversation can take place outside of here. But coming to picking up on different relationships we might have. I was really encouraged by one of our devotions on Instagram, and it was by Charity, and she spoke about Proverbs 13 verse 22, which says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. And she really challenged us in this devotion of saying, we can think about inheritance as money, land, and different things like that. But actually, one of the greatest things that we can leave as an inheritance for our children and our children's children is faith, and that whole godly heritage that will last for generations to come. And I know that this can be a real challenge, and something that a few of us on the kids team really like and something that I've been part of it is it's something called the Kitchen Table Project, which is part of Care for the Family. And they put loads of research out and different things around children and their faith. And one of the things they did is they did a research and in which they found that it was 50% of children that have been brought up in church stay in the faith. So they put in loads of work around this, and I know it can be a real challenge. So we kind of wanted, and Michelle's done some of the Care for the Family stuff, haven't we? We've done that together. Just as maybe bouncing off the challenge that it is when it comes to you wanting your children to have the have faith, but there can be challenging that can't that comes along the way. How do we do how do we make that a priority when it comes to parenting and things like that?
You know, it's our purpose as parents, you know, to leave a godly legacy, you know, and we as parents need to be the main influencers in our children's lives. You know, it's our job as parents to create that godly home full of love, and that godly legacy comes from being us being, like I mentioned before, intentional parents, honouring God in our homes. You know, we've got such influence in the way that we live our lives, our words and our actions, you know, and how we demonstrate God in our lives will just have a great impact on our children. You know, so that our children can see the impacts of God working in and through us and in our lives. We need to be the example of what we want to cultivate in our children, and that will be the legacy, the godly legacy that we leave for them.
Yeah. And also grandparents, Lynn, the part that grandparents play in regarding faith and...
Yeah, it's... I mean, when I became a grandparent, I found it really difficult, if I'm honest. And it took me a long while to sort of work out what does that role actually look like. Because I absolutely loved being a mum, but I wasn't a mum to these grandchildren. It was something different. And it took me a while. And then I realised that actually what my role was I just was going to be their biggest cheerleader. That my role was just to be the encourager, to just cheer them on whatever they want to do, wherever they want to go. I'm not there to do the parenting side of it, but I'm there to be asked questions. If my children want to ask me, I'm happy to give some advice, but that isn't my role. My role is just to be their biggest cheerleader and to just set that example.
Yeah. And I think I'm really encouraged in how with Jesus's grace and just how incredible Jesus is, that like with our children, we love them and we kind of do all we can, but actually God loves them so much more and they're in his hands. And no matter what our children do or where they go or different things like that, that there can be that trust that we can have in God, in knowing that God holds them in his hands and we can trust our children with God. And just even practical things that I've found that have really helped me. Some people might think Natalie oversees Noughts to 18s. It must be really easy for her, but actually life's really busy. There can be times where you think, oh, I've not even spoke to my children about this because we've just been going from here to there and stuff. And for me, it's not been that I felt trying to do loads of big stuff with my children has necessarily been the thing that's worked, but actually it's been intentional in them small moments of actually when they come to me with something going, oh, well, let's pray about that. And so that they know prayer's the first thing. And it doesn't have to be this massive big things that we do where we maybe sit down and have all these conversations about stuff, but actually just being intentional with the small things as well, even going for a walk and going, oh, how incredible that God created all of this and different things like that. I think that's something that I found really helpful. And also on the Kitchen Table Project website, they actually have these really helpful sheets that kind of talk about the different development stages of a child and how we can different things around faith that are important at that stage. So that's something to worth checking out if you're a parent in here. Even just in regards to family and marriage, is there anything in regards to Michelle and Dan? I'll look to you and Lynn if you want. You've been married for 40, how many years? Long time. Am I right that it's 25 years in November? Yes, so November's soon here, so that's a great celebration. Is there anything that you've kind of, maybe quickly, like learned along the way that you'd say is one of the biggest things that you've learned that you would encourage, say if there was a younger married couple that had come to you, what would be one of your piece of advice?
I would say go back to Brian and Denise because they are the marriage experts. In the what we've learned, and I think is I speak for Michelle as well. We're talking about agape love all the time in the Christian world and in the Christian circles. And that's agape love is basically is selfless, unconditional love, does anything for the other person. The kind of love seeks to the well-being of others without expecting anything in return. And I think for me and Michelle is basically just going to that. If me and Michelle are right and our relationship with God and with each other, then the relationship with our kids is going to be okay. If we are not right, then the kids will suffer. So from my point of view, it's like me and Michelle are always strong. And don't take me wrong, we are not experts in relationships. We are not experts in being, you know, parents. We have ups and downs, but at the same time, we're trying to do our best to actually stay together and basically focus each other on, you know, on the Lord. So that is basically our secret, I will say.
Brilliant. Well, thank you. And then, Stephanie, I'm coming to you around friendship, because I know you really invest in friendship well, and you do this well. And something that I was listening to a podcast this week, and it really struck me, because a woman on this podcast, she's a professional, she's very busy and stuff, and she said that not all friendships are the same, and she's had to realize that, and that's affected how she's invested in certain relationships and had boundaries and stuff like that. Can you just give us a little bit of an insight into how you kind of navigate friendships and any wisdom you have in that area?
I wouldn't consider myself very wise in friendship to start with. I have had my ups and downs and just learning to draw my boundary. But the way I see it is God placed different people around you for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And the way you connect with one person will be different from the way you connect with another person. And the distance or the proximity that you allow that person to be in your circle will be different. And it's going back to that thing of always discerning how much access and am I allowing this person in my life? Is this person helping me grow? And it's a constant changing thing. And I always say, and I post this very openly on my Instagram, and I'm like, invest on your friends, invest in friendship and be very intentional. Just because we're serving or we see each other in church every Sunday does not mean we're friends. Does not mean we're best friends. Just because we see or serve together does not mean we know each other. You need to get, if you discern that person to be someone that God has placed in your life to be in a certain proximity to walk with you, invest in that, because it's a reciprocal thing, and you can't control what the other person does, but you can do your part. And then along the way, God will show you whether or not this person is the person that is walking with you in that season, or carry on to the next. I've had friends who are not in this time zone, as everyone can guess, because I'm really on my own here. I even invest in family relationships. So my dad is a very, very busy person. I would text him until he replies to me, and he ghosts me for 5 days on Saturday, and suddenly he would reply. But then that's the time when I'm like, okay, I really need this time, and I need to tell you what is going on with my life, because I can't expect you to know. And when things fall apart, I can't expect you to be there for me, because I've not told you. That is my part. And I think it applies in all relationship. Communication is key, and we have to be very intentional in that.
Yeah, very good. We are coming to an end. So, but there's just one thing that I really wanted to pick up from, so we might have to be quite quick as we discuss this. But as a church, Cookie shared ministry a few weeks about a new song. And as we've been doing through Proverbs and Wisdom, I wonder, is there a new song as a church that God is wanting us to sing regarding relationships and things like that? And if... what one thing do you think jumps out for us on how we as a church, so maybe like collectively, can be wise in our relationships? And one thing that really jumped out at me, and it's again something that I was reading, and it was that around wisdom, is that actually a world out there is looking for wisdom or looking for things like that. And actually how we live and how we carry ourselves can be one of the most attractive things to a world and can lead them to Jesus by that. So how do you think as a church, very quickly, in regard to our relationships, we can, yeah.
I just think it's that sort of welcome. It's that first thing that people see. I know when I'm doing the work that I do with people with debt, it's really scary when they have to come into a place, you know, when they come down to our coffee shop. But everybody who comes in just feels that there's something different about this place. And I think that's just so important. And I think it comes from our hearts and that welcome that we give to people and that not judging people and just being interested in them and knowing that they too have a story to share.
I think it's about making space. I think we can be so busy running around and doing things, even in church, really, sometimes. I know when I'm on kids, running around, and it's just really making that space sometimes. And if it's only 5 minutes, just to talk to one of the mums or dads coming in about what the kids have done, just completely making that space, yeah, really, and not rushing around too much.
From my point of view, it's like trying to be relevant to the world today, you know, is very hard. And when you're a Christian, they have the world, they have the wisdom of the world. And sometimes they look at you as a Christian and they kind of think that you are a bit behind and you are not relevant. But I think if you just, your relationship with God, and you show them what Jesus is through your actions, through your words, through everything that you are, that you are show Jesus, they will eventually come to know you and they want to spend time with you. And I think being relevant is being relevant to God rather than to people, and that will attract them. That's how I see it.
A scripture has just come to mind. It says you are in this world but not of this world, and I think that's the position of the church and us as followers of Christ. And sometimes I see it as if you're empty enough, because the light is the light of God, so if we're called to be the light, if you're empty enough, that's when God can shine through you. But if you've got so many things in you, that is maybe you're trying to be relevant of the world, maybe you're trying to chase after this and that and everything that is, like what Michelle said, like you've not made space for it, then God can't shine through you. Yeah.
Brilliant. And just to finish this off, just one thing that jumped out at me on this was in Proverbs 17, verse 5, it says, whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. And in it made me think of Galatians, if I can get it up quickly, where it says... So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And I think sometimes in society, there can very much be divides. But one thing here that Paul is encouraging the church, that actually as we come together as a church, there isn't that divide. We are all one in Christ. So it doesn't matter poor or rich. It doesn't matter anything. All the different divides that society can put out there, actually, when we come together, we're all one in Christ. And us seeing the image of God in one another is really important in that, and encouraging one another in that. So as we come to a close, I would love to pray for us all. I hope this has been an encouragement and given you food for thought this morning, as it comes to being wise with our relationships. So. Yeah, dear God, I really want to thank you. I really want to thank you that you've not called us to do it alone and that we are placed in community. And I just pray that you would help us as a church family, that we would always seek you first, Lord God, that we really would have that right relationship with you, Lord God, that we would invest time in that, and that we would see that what flows out of that is healthy relationships with one another. And so I pray that as a church, we would just have that great health in relationships, and that would speak loudly to a world, Lord God, that is searching for you, Jesus. So I pray that you would help us as we go from here, that we would think about these things, that we would be intentional with our relationships, and that we would just glorify you in all that we do in that, Lord God. Amen. Let's give a big round of applause to our panel. Thank you so much, everybody.